Or if you are here today and you are not saved, I hope today will be the day that you trust Christ as your Savior. Amen. That's what I do. I travel this country when the Lord allows it. We put up a tent when He allows that. For not under the tent, we're of course in the church building. And we preach on the gospel. We preach judgment, salvation, preach on hell. And the reason is so that people don't go to that place. That's the reason why. There's a Savior by the name of Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. Amen. He didn't die for religion. He died for your soul. And so therefore, that's what we do. We travel and try our best to see people saved, lives changed. Amen. With the help of the Holy Ghost. We'll see that this morning. Luke 16. Luke 16, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 19. Very true story of what took place. And if I was you, I would listen. The Bible said in Luke 16, verse number 19, he said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." The Bible says this, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence.' And then he said, 'I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house.'" So he's concerned about his family. And he said in verse 28, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. And I thank you, dear Father, that we can come to you, Lord, and ask that, God, you do a work in our hearts and lives. Now, Lord, I pray for a little while as I try to preach this message, that, dear God in heaven, for Holy Ghost conviction to be upon this place. And dear Lord, I pray for every soul that's here this morning. Dear Father, I pray that, God, you would draw them to Jesus Christ, those that need you that are not saved. Father, for those that are saved, I pray for conviction to be upon them. That, dear God, our hearts would be burdened for the lost. And that, Lord, we'd do a better work and a greater work for Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I need the help of the Holy Ghost this morning. I need your words, your strength, and your power. Lord, defeat the damnable devil, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach to you on this subject this morning that has been entitled, "The Church Service in Hell." Now, I know that they're not necessarily having the kind of church service that we've enjoyed this morning. And it's probably, no doubt, not the kind of service that anybody would want to go to. But for a little while, I want to try to preach on what has been titled "The Church Service in Hell." Now, I will say to you that this will be the longest service that some will ever be involved in, because it will be forever. Now, I know it's hard for most people to think about the word forever, think about the word eternity, because we dwell in time. And we know that everything is going to come to an end eventually, even our own lives. But can I say to you, dear friend, there is a place out there that is called eternity, and you are going somewhere forever. And you see, there are people today, dear friend, that are in heaven. Thank God for that. There's also people that are in hell, and they're living out, if you would, what we're calling, or I'm calling this morning, the church service in hell. Now, I want to say to you that everything that calls itself a church is not a church. There's a lot of people out there that say that they go to this church or that church. But may I say to you, dear friend, the church is a body of born-again believers. It is a called-out assembly. That is those that have been saved and blood-washed. They've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. But I say to you that those that are in hell this morning are believers, but they were believers in their own way. In other words, dear friend, they had their own doctrine. They had their own opinion of how they thought that they were going to get to heaven. And I say to you, dear friend, they thought their opinion was going to get them to heaven. They thought that maybe their belief was going to get them to heaven. I've talked to people about the Lord. I've tried to witness to people and tell them how to get saved. And it is amazing at the things that people will tell you of how they believe or how they think or what their opinion is of how they're going to get to heaven. May I say to you this morning, dear friend, that the opinion that I have of how you're going to get to heaven is not my opinion, but it is God's opinion. It's what God said in His Bible. In other words, I'm going to believe what Jesus said. Brother Parchman is a man I used to travel around with, and he used to go around with a microphone, and he'd ask people, he'd say, "Are you saved? When'd you get saved? When'd you get saved?" And he'd stick that microphone right up under their mouth. He wasn't worried about it. And one guy looked at him one night, and he said, "Are you saved?" He said, "Yeah, I'm saved, but I didn't get saved the same way you got saved." And Brother Parchman came back quickly. He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "If you got saved, you got saved the same way I got saved. Because I got saved by repenting of my sins. I got saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ." And I say to you this morning, dear friend, there's only one way to get saved. That is through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now, the church service we're talking about today is a place where people have chosen to go. In other words, they made a choice whenever they were here on earth. They had the opportunity to trust Christ, or they had the opportunity to trust their own way. And I say to you, dear friend, they could have gone to heaven, but there are some that chose to go to hell. A Calvinist one time said this. He said, "I'd rather go to hell in the perfect will of God than go to heaven out of the will of God." May I say to you, dear friend, there's no doubt that man went to school, majored in ignorance, and had the devil for his teacher. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I say to you, dear friend, you cannot blame anybody if you go to hell. You can't blame your mom, your dad. You can't blame the pastor. You can't blame the evangelist. You can't blame a friend or a boss or a co-worker or a church member. I say to you, dear friend, if anybody goes to hell, it's because they chose to go. Now, this place we're talking about this morning is a final place for every soul without God. It is a place for those that are wicked. You say, "Well, I'm not wicked." Well, wicked would be anybody that denies the Lord Jesus Christ, anybody that's not saved. Wicked, and I say to you, it's also a place for the unclean. In other words, they're unclean in their thoughts. They're unclean in their actions. They're unclean in their life. Their life, in other words, does not resemble the life of a Christian because they are not a Christian. May I say to you, it is a place for unbelievers, those that necessarily don't believe in God. They don't believe that the Lord Jesus can save them. It is also a place, dear friend, for the lost church member. And I want to say to you, you probably heard the verse, maybe you haven't. You've heard the verse of maybe where the Bible talks about where ear hath not heard, neither hath entered the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him. Boy, that's a wonderful verse. But what if it read something like this? And I know it don't, but what if it read something like, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that do not love Him? Friend, no matter how long I preach, no matter what preacher would get up here and preach, you could try to get the best of the best. And those that would try to describe to you that place called hell, and can I say to you, every single one of us would fall short. There's not a preacher on earth that can describe hell and the horrors of hell and the ungodliness and the awfulness of hell. But I say to you, dear friend, this is a place that you do not want to go. It is a horrible place. The Bible teaches us that hell hath enlarged herself. Why? Can I say to you? Because so many people are going. That's why. There's a bunch of people going. He said in Isaiah 14:15, he said, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit." In Revelation, the Bible said that it is called the bottomless pit. Now, I want to say to you, dear friend, that's not the kind of place you want to go. And the Bible said this. He said, "You must be born again." You don't go to heaven unless you've been saved. You say, "Well, I go to church, I ain't gonna get it. Prayed my prayer, I ain't gonna get it. Been baptized, not gonna get you there." I want to preach to you a little while on this service, the church service on hell. Now, in many churches, there is usually an order of service. Every church doesn't always have the same order of service, but many churches will have these things in them. Can I say to you, number one, many of the church services today will have what we call announcements.
where the preacher will get up maybe and give some announcements of some things that's going to take place. But I say to you, all the announcements maybe that are maybe are told at church that maybe not come through. They may not come to pass. But when God makes an announcement, it's going to happen. And did you know that, dear friend, God announces hell and that hell is a place? He said over there, he teaches us that hell is a place of suffering and heartache. The Bible teaches us where God makes an announcement about hell. He said over there in Mark chapter number 9, verse 44, verse 46, and verse 48. Three times God announced that hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He said it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He said it a third time because of the importance of it. It is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now God announces that hell is a place where people are chained in darkness. You say, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said in Matthew 22:13, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place, dear friend, where the smoke ascendeth up forever and ever. Now you hear me, he said in Revelation 14:11, here's what the Bible said, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Friend, that means that if a person goes to hell, they will be there forever. A million years from now, still in hell. Forgotten about. Well, God has those that have been saved in heaven. And dear friend, he's washed their minds away of that friend or that mom or that dad or that family member, whoever it may be. And there you are still in hell forever. And the smoke ascendeth up forever and ever. God announces it's a place of no water. The rich man here in the Bible, we just got done reading it, dear friend. He's asking for a drop of water. You know, they said in the prison camps that men used to crawl around on the ground in the morning and they would lick the water on the grass to try to get a little bit of water that they were so thirsty. Friend, if men do that today, what in the world is it like in hell? It's a place, he said, where he teaches us, well, you'll remember, can I say to you, dear friend, you'll remember every opportunity of salvation. You'll remember the trap that maybe somebody gave you to try to show you how to get saved. You'll remember the messages that you heard when God dealt with your heart. You'll remember probably this message if you don't get saved. You'll remember the invitation when God tried to call you to salvation. You'll remember when people asked you to get saved, dear friend. Brother Parchman was a man, of course, I told you that I traveled with, and he was preaching one night, and there was a man in the service that night, and the man was lost, and people began to go to the man and ask him if he would come and get saved. And the man got mad, and Brother Parchman saw that he was getting mad. The man's wife was down on the altar praying for him that he would get saved that night. And of course, Brother Parchman seeing the man was getting mad, and he said, hey, sir, see your wife down here? See her praying for you? He said, if you don't get saved, you'll remember that in hell forever. The man got mad that night, left the service. Never did get saved that night. That was on Saturday night. He went home and went to bed, and him and his wife went to bed, and the next day was Sunday morning. He couldn't sleep that night. He woke his wife up the next morning. He said, honey, get up. He said, I'm going to church with you this morning. I couldn't sleep all night. All I could see was me in hell and you praying for me that I wouldn't go. May I say to you, dear friend, there are people that will remember that and live things like that forever. You'll remember a wife or a husband or a mom or a dad or a son or a daughter or a friend or a family member that tried to get you saved, dear friend. But hell is a place of remembrance. Hell is also a place of everlasting fire. People say, oh, there's no fire in hell. You'll believe it about 5 seconds after you're there. The Bible said over there in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You understand, dear friend, that God doesn't want you to go to hell. Oh yeah, he wants them devils and angels to go there, those that are wicked. He's sending them there. He don't want you to go to hell. But I say to you, dear friend, it's a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible said in Matthew 22:13, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I got to thinking, what causes gnashing? Anger. Pain, fear, and hate. And you know all four are in hell. There's anger in hell and pain in hell and fear in hell and hate in hell. It's a place of no deliverance. May I say to you tonight, dear friend, this morning, that the rich man is still in hell. The one we read about in the Bible, where the Bible said that in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. That was about 2,000 years ago plus. And that man is still right now below your feet in the heart of the earth. Still in hell. Still crying out for a drop of water. Still begging for mercy. But there is none. It's too late. It's a place of no deliverance. It's a place of no escape. May I say to you, dear friend, you'll never get out of hell. Only the time a person will get out of hell is when God brings them up to be judged and then to be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible teaches us it's a place where the wicked will be. He said over there in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. So in other words, the fornicators, the adulterers, the sorcerers, the drunkards and the dopers and the murderers and the baby murderers and the Hitlers and the Husseins and the Sodomites and even the lost church member are going to be right there with them, dear friend. I say to you, God said the wicked will be there. It's a place where demons will be. The Bible said in Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. This don't sound like the kind of place I want to go. God announces about hell. Why does he announce that? Why would God put that in the Bible? Because he don't want you to go. Hell is a place of pain and cussing and blasphemy and vulgarity. It's a horrible place. It's a place of horror. It's a place where you'll never see your family. Some of you might have a baby in heaven or a daddy in heaven or a mother in heaven. You might have a grandmother or a grandfather in heaven. You might have a brother or a sister in heaven. But I say to you, dear friend, you'll never see them if you go to hell. You don't ever see them, dear friend, because you'll be in hell and they'll be in heaven. It's a place of no love, no friendship. It's a place of no gratification for the flesh. That means your old flesh that you have now. There you are in hell. There's no food in hell. There's no rest in hell. There's nothing to drink in hell. There's no medicines for that same old body in hell. There's no habit satisfied, dear friend. Now, I want to say to you, that's not the kind of announcements that we like, but that's what God announces. Hell is a place. Something else in the church service that usually takes place, not only is there announcements, but usually there's a song service. We had one here today. You say, preacher, do you really think they're singing in hell? Oh, no, they're not singing in hell. But they remember the songs in hell. What about the songs that they've heard? Maybe you remember maybe the message of that song. You remember the salvation message that you heard in that song. What about a song like this? Maybe you've never heard it, but many have. Just as I am without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to thee, but you never came. What about that song, Almost Persuaded Now to Believe, Almost Persuaded Christ to Receive, Almost Persuaded Harvest is Past, Almost Persuaded Doom Comes at Last. You never were persuaded. You never did come. You know, many people, there's many, many that have almost got saved, but they didn't. You know where they're at today? They're in hell. There was a lady one time that was under conviction. She did not come. Her husband didn't want her to come. The next day, she went to a card game instead of going to the meeting. Instead of going to the revival, she went to the card game. And dear friend, the story is said that they were sitting there playing cards. True story. She had the cards in her hand. She dropped her cards. Her head fell forward and hit the table. And she died. Probably went to hell because she never got saved. True story, Atlanta, Georgia. There was a man sitting in a service one night that was under conviction. The man was thinking about coming to get saved, was going to come and get saved. His wife kept stopping him. True story. After the benediction, the pastor came to the man as he was getting ready to leave and said, sir, please don't leave today without getting saved. This might be your last chance. His wife looked at the preacher and said, leave him alone. She said, we'll take care of it later. They walked out the doors of the church, out into the parking lot. The man reached in his pocket to get his keys out of his pocket. When he did, he dropped his keys in the parking lot, grabbed his chest, and fell over dead and went to hell. Little did he know it was his last chance. Let me say to you, dear friend, you don't put God off. When God speaks to you, you don't say no to God. Dear friend, may I say to you, you better come when God calls. What about the song, Poor Sinner, Harden Not Your Heart? Be saved tonight. You know, there's many songs that we sing that talk about Calvary, talk about the cross, talk about salvation, talk about the grace of God and the mercy of God. And many people will even sing them songs and die and go to a devil's hell. You'll never forget them. May I say to you, one day you'll see the sun come up, but you won't see it go down. You know why? You'll be dead. One of these days, dear friend, you'll see the sun go down, but you won't see it come up because you'll be dead. One of these days, you'll get up and you'll get dressed and you'll be laying there, dear friend, and you won't even realize it, in some hospital room, dead. And the undertaker will come and undress you. One of these days, you'll tie your shoes and the undertaker will untie them that afternoon. I say to you, dear friend, don't put God off. What about the song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Hear My Humble Cry, While on Others Thou Art Calling, Do Not Pass Me By. But when he came by your way, you said no. What about Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling? What about the song, Come Every Soul by Sin Oppressed, There's Mercy with the Lord? And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. But you never got saved. You know that song, you've probably sang it, Victory in Jesus. But you never had that victory. What about that song, When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There? But your name was never written in the book. You'll remember, dear friend, the songs about heaven. But you won't be in heaven, you'll be in hell. The announcements, the song service. Did you know there's a message in hell? The Bible said in Luke 16, verses 27 and 28, listen to what it says. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know what he's saying? In hell, there's a message and they're crying this out. They're crying, tell them not to come. If you could hear their voice, if you could just see hell for 5 seconds, you'd fall on your face before God and beg for mercy. If you could hear them in hell, they're crying out, tell them not to come. They're saying, hey, this place is real. They're crying out, the pain is worse than that preacher could ever preach it. They're crying out from hell, tell my family not to come to hell. Tell my friends not to come. And they're crying out, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Get saved. There was a young man one time came up to a preacher one day and he said this. He said, preacher, how long should a person be prepared for eternity before he dies? The preacher said, at least 5 minutes before you die, you better make sure you're ready. The boy said, thank you, preacher. 5 minutes before I die, I'll make sure that I'm ready. He started to walk off, and the man of God said, wait a minute, son, I got a question for you. He said, yes, sir. The preacher said, when you gonna die? The boy said, well, I don't know. And the preacher said, this might be your last 5 minutes. This might be your last 5 minutes. This might be your last service. This might be the last message you hear. True story, this last summer I was in Illinois preaching a tent revival. There was a man that had been coming to the service. I don't know if he was saved or not. Looked like a homeless man, but he had a vehicle. He wasn't homeless, he had a little home, but kept to himself. Left the service that night, went over and got in his truck. The next morning, we looked out the window or walked outside, and the truck was still there. And I thought to myself, man, his truck must have broke down. Truck sat there all day. Preacher came in later that day and said, man, I wonder why his truck's still here. Walked over to the truck. The man was in the truck dead. Died of a massive heart attack. You think you got all kinds of time. We can go to the graveyard today, and we can find graves of people that died your age, no matter how old you are. The rich man, dear friend, the rich young ruler, I'm sorry, the Bible calls him rich young ruler. You know what he said this? He said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. You know what he is meaning? He was saying, I got plans. I got things in my life that I'm going to do. I'm going to do this and that, this and that. I'm going to do all these things. You know what the Bible said in Luke 12? But God said unto him, thou fool. He said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He thought he had plenty of time, but dear friend, little did he know he was going to be dying soon. Well, the parchman preached one night, and he preached a message entitled, Prepare to Meet God. True story, dear friend. There was a woman in the service that night, and she was there. She was lost, and he begged her to come, pleaded with her to come, and let somebody show her how to get saved and get saved. But she didn't. She left the service that night. She got in her car driving down the road, dear friend. Somehow she slipped off and fell off into some ditch with her car. They think she might have hit her head or something. She got out of the car, walked to the front of her car, dazed, fell over in 6 inches of water, face down. Died with a message on her heart, prepare to meet God. You know, there's a message in hell, dear friend, and here's one of the messages. It's this. The devil's a liar. Friend, if you could hear them in hell this morning, if you could hear what they're saying in hell, they would say something like, he told me I had plenty of time. You'd hear things like, he told me to wait and get saved later. You'd hear him say, he had me put salvation off and now it's too late. And I say to you, dear friend, you hear me. There's people all through that Bible right there that I can show you that he's lied to. He lied to Felix. He lied to Agrippa. He lied to Judas. He's lied to Jezebel. He lied to the Pharisees. But can I say to you in today, he's lied to the purpose-driven crowd, the charismatic crowd, the Jehovah Witness crowd. He's lied to the Catholic crowd. He's lied to the Baptist crowd. He's lied, dear friend, and he's lied, and he's lied, and he's lied. And there's people, friend, that are dying and going to hell by the thousands because he's lying to them and they're believing it. And they say to you, dear friend, the devil will make you feel good spiritually, but that doesn't mean you're saved. Many, 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 please stay with me. Many religions of today are a feel-good religion or a works religion. They'll tell you what you have to do. You got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this. No, dear friend, it's not what you do. It's what he did. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins. He took your hell and he took my hell. He took the whole entire world's hell and all their sin, dear friend, and he washed them away. All you got to do is trust him. Repent of your sins and ask him to save you. He will save you. A church will not save you. Nor can a man, nor can a work, cannot save you. And the devil will lie to people and tell them, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. I'm telling you what Jesus said. Right now, we know the wicked's in hell. But do you know there's some morally, are you listening? There are some morally clean women in hell. There are some morally clean men in hell. There are some morally clean young people in hell. In other words, they're not that bad of a person. They're just a good old boy, just a good old girl. But can I say to you, dear friend, you go to hell because you are lost. You go to hell because you are a sinner. And I say to you, dear friend, there are people like that in hell because the devil lied to them and told them that they were okay, that they were all right. But I say to you, the devil is a roaring lion, the Bible says, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he is looking for somebody to destroy. He's looking for a life to destroy. He's looking for a soul to put in hell, and he won't be satisfied till he gets you. And he has already deceived the souls of millions of people, and he is after your soul today. That's the message that cries out from hell. Don't come to hell, get saved. Don't listen to the devil, he's a liar. So there's the announcements, there's the song service, there's the message. You know, in most churches, in some churches, there's what we call an invitation. Did you know that the devil invites you to hell? You know, dear friend, that the mouth of hell is crying out for you and it's begging you, oh, come sinner to hell. Come sinner to hell. Don't listen to that preacher. Come sinner to hell. And I beg you, don't accept that invitation. The Bible said over there in Proverbs 30, verse 16, it said, the fire that saith not, it is enough. You know what that means? That means, dear friend, that fire always wants more. Is that correct? Amen. It wants more to burn. And did you know in hell right now, I can hear the old fire crying out, give me more souls, give me more souls, give me more souls, give me more souls, give me more souls. And I say to you right now, below you, in the heart of the earth, right now below your feet, are the flames of hell inviting you to come. People today, they'll say, oh, we're going to go to hell and party. Well, the party's been canceled due to the fire. There has never, ever seen anybody, you've never seen nobody shouting a victory and having a good old time while they were burning. Ain't no party in hell. You're a fool if you believe that. Your next step could be stepping off into hell. And may I say to you this morning, dear friend, that the fire invites you, the depths of hell invite you, the devil invites you, the worms invite you, the chains invite you, the smell of burning flesh invites you to hell. Listen to what the Bible said in Isaiah. I didn't say it, God said it. He said, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, ready to receive you, inviting you into hell. Bible said over there in Isaiah 14, 9, listen to what it says. It says, hell from beneath, that's under your feet, heart of the earth. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones for thee. May I say to you right now, dear friend, that's what God said in his Bible, that hell is moved for thee. It's stirring it up. And the devil bids you come to hell. And the demons bid you come to hell. And the evil spirits bid you come. You hear this preacher? He'll come to you and he'll say, live it up. He'll say, enjoy your sin. He'll say, don't listen to that preacher. Now look here, you can try to ignore me if you want to, but you can't ignore the Holy Ghost. And I say to you, that damnable devil wants to put you in hell. And he'll say, don't listen to him. Wait till you get out of here. Just wait, you get out of here. You'll be free in a little bit. You go have a good time. Yeah, you go have a good time, all right. But that good time's going to end one day. And when it ends, payday is coming. And I promise you, dear friend, you don't want to go to hell. One of these days, the icy cold fingers of death will wrap around your throat, squeeze all the air out. Then you'll die. And then I ask you this question. Then what? Where are you going? We don't know when we're going to die. Many of my family are here. I got two cousins that are gone, younger than me. They didn't know they was going to die. Some of us got friends that's maybe been here and they passed away. We had no idea they was going to die. But when you die, where are you going? I want to give you the last thing. In some churches, there's what we call an offering. Did you know that in hell, they offer you pain, torment, and suffering, and heartache, and misery, and loneliness, fire and woe? He's saying that you can come. But did you know the Lord, are you listening? The Lord offers you salvation and peace and heaven and joy and happiness and love and eternal life. Now I ask you the question, why would you say no to Jesus? And you can have heaven paid for. Why would anybody say no to that? Why would you listen to a damnable devil and die and go to hell? I don't understand that. They all hear me. Some of you have heard this and some of you haven't. At the age of 19, I was not the best guy to be around. Some of my family knows that. My cousin Wayne's here, my brother, my sister. But I was sitting in the church about the second row from the back. The
preacher was preaching, my uncle, Terry Kindred. The Holy Ghost of God came to me and showed me I was lost. And I got to thinking, talking to God. You know when God's speaking to you, not out loud. I said, Lord, I've been saved. I remember I went forward with my brother, somewhere around the age of 5 or 6 years old, something like that, 7 years old. I don't know how old I was. And the Holy Ghost said, you didn't go because I was dealing with you. You went because your brother went. Then he started naming all the stuff that I was involved in that nobody knew about but him. And he said, you're lost, boy. You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. I didn't fight God that day. At the age of 19, I got up out of that seat. I can take you to the spot. I can take you to the place where my uncle took that Bible and I trusted Christ as my Savior. My life ain't been the same since. I ain't been the same man I was. Mean, hard, fighter, ungodly. Boy, it changed. It's because God saved me. Some of you are going to hell and you know it. I beg you, don't go. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is Jesus. You're not as good as Jesus. That's what that means. For all have sinned, that's everybody, come short of the glory of God. Dear friend, the only way you can be as good as Jesus is if you take on his righteousness, and that is through salvation. He said, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, because you're a sinner, you got to die and you're going to go to hell. But he said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in other words, dear friend, he said this, you're a sinner, so you're going to hell. But I'll tell you what, I'll give you a gift. And that gift is my son, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to let him die on a cross for your sin and pay your payment. And I'm giving you this gift. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, that's praying, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, that's anybody, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter who you are. You've been in church all your life, you can still get saved if you're not saved. You can be somebody that never goes to church, you can still get saved. You can be maybe the most morally person here, the most cleanest person here, but you're not saved, you can get saved. You can be the worst person here, and you can still get saved. Doesn't matter who you are, he'll save your soul. And I already told you, here's what I did. I got up out of my seat. On that side of the church, I walked down here, and that preacher took that Bible, and I got saved. It was the easiest thing in the world to do. You know what the hardest thing was? Take the first step. Once I took the first step, it was all over. My name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you can put this down on record. If I drop dead today, I'll be in heaven shouting the glory down. Are you saved?